Expectations are a curious thing. If we expect too much, we may be disappointed. If we expect too little, we might miss out on something great. If we never think enough or articulate our expectations to ourselves and to others, how can they be met? Most have expectations of family, friends, the church. What about God? Is it okay to have expectations of God? Jesus seems to say that it is okay. As we consider today's gospel reading, keep in mind the idea that expectations influence how people respond, how people acted, what people made of John the Baptist and Jesus. Expectations mattered, and they still do, when it comes to our relationship with God and with the church. John the Baptist wasn't sure what to expect. He believed God was at work and something new was going on, but how exactly, he was not sure. And the way the Gospel of John tells the story, we don't see the baptism of Jesus in this account, but we hear John the Baptist speak of the event. A very important event in his life, an extraordinary event of Jesus' baptism, during which John saw the Spirit descend and remain on Jesus. John's epiphany experience of recognizing the divinity of Jesus led him to become one who testified to that belief, what it meant for him, what it might mean for others. John the Baptist, he was so excited. He wanted others to meet this person, this Jesus, in whom he saw so much more than human eyes could normally see. And as the account goes, John's so excited. It's actually a little awkward, though, even humorous. Jesus walks by and John exclaims, "Look, the Lamb of God." Monty Python really didn't have to try too hard. There is humor here. I think it speaks to this unexpected experience of knowing faith and knowing God and wanting to share that excitement. John does sound a little crazy. He's already got a reputation for being weird, dressing oddly, eating the locust. But John has become, as St. Paul would say, a fool for Christ. And he's so filled with this spirit, this experience of Christ, he cannot help but speak out. He wants others to experience Jesus as he has experienced him. How are we experiencing Christ here among us in this community of faith? What do we want to say to those walking by or those driving by our church? Are we ready to share this experience that we've had? And how do we even do that? How is God calling us to be true evangelists, messengers of God's grace and love? Some of you may be thinking, but wait a minute. Where are you going with this, Hillary? Because we're Episcopalians. We don't want to be pushy. We don't want to offend. If people want to come to our church, they would, right? Would they? How do they know who we are and what we're about? Would they be surprised that we encourage questions about faith and about God? Would they be surprised to learn that we see questions and intellectual inquiry as a healthy and normal and really necessary part of the faith journey? Would they be surprised to learn that there's a wide range of thought among us about God and that we value different opinions and we do not seek to give easy answers to hard questions or seek to have everyone think exactly alike? Would they be surprised that we welcome and value all people and in fact see the face of God in the diversity among us? I think they would be surprised to learn all this and more about who we are as a community of faith, that a community of faith is about hope and love. So back to our scene of Jesus and the call of the first disciples. There's John the Baptist making a fool of himself, but he doesn't care. And he's getting the attention of those around him. And the two disciples of John's start to follow Jesus. Not follow in the sense of completely with the program. Maybe they haven't given their hearts to him yet or their lives to him. But they're following to get more information, which is a very good way to begin. And then we have the wonderful and instructive interaction with Jesus, with these two who are following him at a distance. Jesus asks them, "What are you looking for?" This is an inviting question. It invites them into relationship. It's not just making a statement about who he is to them, but inviting them into dialogue. He wants to know what they're thinking. At some point, the church stopped asking that question, at least some churches in some places and times. But I think if we look historically in these early days of the church, it was all about questioning and relationship and growing together. And that certainly did shut down as the church became the established religion. But when we go back to Jesus, we see that this question is part of the invitation to have others join what we're experiencing, what we want to share. Now, these two, they're maybe not sure of what they're looking for, or maybe they're too shy or embarrassed to say. So they reply, "Where are you staying?" Which is also rather humorous. What are you looking for? Well, where are you staying? But in a sense, it's just the right thing to say, maybe, letting Jesus know they're looking for more information about him. Who is he? What's he about? And he replies, and I believe with great love and a desire to be in relationship with these two, Jesus replies, "Come and see. Come and see." Faith formation in initial stages. We've got John the Baptist sharing. And then we've got those who are following, and we've got Jesus inviting, and they follow. They want to see where he's staying. How would we do this? What would this look like if we were to be modeling or following this model and then modeling this way of inviting? It might be something as simple as saying, "Hey, you know, I go to this church that really cares about people." Something simple like that. And others might be interested. "Really? Cares about people? I thought churches were all about telling you what to believe and what to do." No, they really care. And then we might do what Jesus did and ask a question, "Are you looking for that? What are you looking for? What are you looking for in your life? What are you looking for when you think about spirituality and how you're hoping to connect with the deep, deep questions of life?" This is a good way to be available to people who are searching and looking for what we have to offer. We need to be able to engage these people around us, this culture in which we live. What are they hoping for, and what are their expectations? In his book entitled "They Like Jesus, But Not the Church: Insights from Emerging Generations," Dan Kimball reports on his experience of engaging many young adults and non-churchgoers in conversation about both Jesus and the church. Now, in case you go out and get this book right after the service, just want to warn you, it is a little more conservative in some ways than we are. Interestingly, it's those folks who've been doing this and asking and trying to figure things out. What he found is that many don't like the church because they have a perception. They have negative expectations based on some experiences, based on some hearsay, based on what they think is going on. And after interviewing a lot of people, these were the top six things that people who don't go to church and younger people who don't go think about the church. First, organized religion with a political agenda. Second, judgmental and negative. Third, dominated by males and oppresses females. Fourth, homophobic. Fifth, arrogantly claims all other religions are wrong. Six, full of fundamentalists who take the whole Bible literally. When asked what they like about Jesus, we hear, Jesus is all loving, the same as God, on the same team. Jesus was a voice of peace and hope and inspired many people. Jesus had a lot of conviction about the goodness of human beings. He went against the establishment. He was compassionate. When asked what they're looking for in a church, and this is Dan, the author of this book, goes into great detail here, and I'm just giving you the top categories, four things that they were looking for in a church. They said, "I wish the church was not just a sermon or a lecture, but a discussion. Number two, I wish the church would respect my intelligence. Number three, I wish the church weren't about the church building. Number four, I wish the church were less programmed and allowed time to think and pray." In many ways, what I've mentioned here today about us, I think, would surprise many people. And while in some ways we might not have exactly what they're looking for, in a lot of ways we are touching upon it. For example, while there is a sermon where you're basically just listening to what I'm saying, there are many opportunities at this church for discussion, as we had in our adult formation class before this service began. And I, for one, I'm always open to more of that. So we'd probably surprise people who have their expectations, at least initial expectations, maybe met here. And we, I know, we're interested in this matter and these issues that are important to people in our culture. And we do have a lot to offer. But do we offer it? We need to ask people, what are you looking for? And then say, come and see. Perhaps we err too much on the side of thinking that we don't have the answers in our attempt to be humble and realistic. And it's true, we don't have all the answers, but we have some answers by the grace of God. We have some answers, or at least we think we might know a few of the questions about life. An answer such as, every person is a child of God, worthy of respect. An answer about what matters in people's lives, that we agree that we can discuss it. Not agreeing on every point of theology, but that it's important to be together to continue the discussion and to learn and grow as a community, where spirituality matters and where we seek experiences of opening ourselves to the divine. So let us ask those around us, what are you looking for? Do we have what they seek? I think we do in many cases. We invite anyone to come and see if this is a place that reflects the love of God as known and seen in the life of Jesus. Our reading from John's Gospel gives us much to consider as we seek to share our faith with others and invite people to join us as followers of this Christian path, to join us as part of Holy Comforter and the Episcopal Church. And for those of us who are here now, imagine that you are following Jesus at a distance. He turns to you and asks you, what are you looking for right now in your life? How would you answer that question today? What are your honest expectations for your relationship with God as you experience God at this time in your life? Or what are your expectations, your hopes, based upon how you would like to experience God? And if you've not thought about having expectations for God, because that might just sound a little pushy, it's okay. Consider it. What are your hopes? Something to pray about with God, with Christ, with the Spirit. And when praying about it, the Spirit may pray within us, through us, helping us to know that God cares, wants to know our deepest desires for connection. Imagine, let God use your imagination. How does Jesus respond to you? From what we know of Jesus, God, the Spirit, our questions and our desires will be welcomed and embraced. And I pray that you and I may know God's invitation to share in God's life through Christ, through the created world, through the church, in all of our relationships, and in our prayer. Amen.